listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting show, the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron. Wayne Fritz is out this week. He should be back next week. And in his place, we have our esteemed co-host from time to time, Mr. Sherrod Ellis. Sherrod, how's it going?
All right. How you doing there, Mr. Cameron?
Oh, doing well, doing well. Of course, everybody remembers that Mr. Ellis is the president and CEO of Next Level Focus Mentoring here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and has a very successful mentoring and coaching practice working with youth in different stations of life. And man, it's always good to get Sherrod back and kind of catch up on things, on developments and techniques and things of that nature. So top of the afternoon, and thanks for coming on today.
All right. Appreciate the invite. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. All right. All right. So a little bit of background. Now Sherrod and I have very interesting and a very unique relationship that began in the late 90s, believe it or not. And while Sherrod was in the process of getting his first of many college degrees. And so I know that Dr. Julian Herzog was his primary first man, but I would call myself the second man was an encourager and a teacher and somewhat of a mentor to Sherrod coming up. Now he is who he is today, many degrees later, many hospital experiences and other jobs later. Just amazing. So it's like a brother to me, because I myself worked in state mental hospitals, worked in prisons and those things. Sherrod also took an institutional path. Those institutional paths are fantastic because you learn a lot real quick, not only about clients, but you learn a lot about yourself, right, Sherrod?
Absolutely. It's a great path. I encourage anyone getting into this profession to take that route. Oh,
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So one of the things that we'll talk about, I guess one of the themes is stay in your lane, but how to do that and then be cooperative to another provider. Okay. Oftentimes, if client X might have multiple providers, right? They may have a psychiatrist. That's okay. They may have a counselor, and that's okay. Because pretty much psychiatrist has their lane, right? Prescribing medicine.
Absolutely.
And the counselor has their lane, doing counseling. But sometimes when we talk about addiction, addiction treatment, there may be all three. There may be a psychiatrist or a physician. There may be a mental health counselor over here. And there may be a recovery coach or mentor over here. Okay. And on paper, that sounds okay, right? That makes sense. They go for their med checks every 3 months. Person might go to an office visit for the counselor either every week or every other week, etc. And then the person may be seen in their home or somewhere in the community by their recovery coach, sober coach, mentor, whatever. Okay. So that all makes sense. I mean, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. But what happens is that, I don't want to say the lower levels, don't want to say that, you know, but at the counseling mentoring level, there's where, right, because counselors do some of the things that mentors and coaches do. Coaches do some of the things that counselors, right, do.
Right.
And then we get into this kind of, well, who's doing what, okay? So today's show is about the integration. There's continuity of care, but the integration of care, particularly between the coach and the counselor, or the coach and the mental health professional, whoever that may be. I mean, because it could be a counselor, it could be a LMFT counselor, it could be a licensed social worker, it could be, shoot, it could even be a licensed chemical an LCDC, you know, it could be a licensed chemical dependency counselor. So there's a lot of different people that are license holders over here, and then there's coaches over here that are maybe certified, but they're not licensed, okay? Now let me tell you something. And he and I, Sherrod and I have shared many cases over the years. Sherrod and I have shared many cases over the years where I played the role, didn't play the role, I mean, I am the role, but as a licensed, let's play one on TV. No, I don't play one on TV. I actually have these licenses. So I would be the licensed counselor or the person doing some of the mental health counseling. And then Sherrod would be doing the coaching or the mentoring, okay? And so some of the things. So let's talk about the picture perfect way that that works, okay? Now Sherrod, you just jump in anytime, but you know, okay, you got to get me when I'm on a roll. Anyway, I'm on a half roll here. So person comes into me, and you know, and I might even coordinate a mental health evaluation through a licensed psychologist. I may look at the data from the psychiatrist, get a counseling plan together. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be working with this person, looking at family dynamics, you know, looking at this from a systemic level, but also looking at their issues too, man. Some of these folks, they have a substance use disorder and they have some familial issues, man. That is not going to be fixed 1 hour a week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It might be in 100 years. No, just kidding. No, but that simply, it simply isn't going to work. And you know what? Some counselors say, hey, I'm going to do the best I can do, and that's that. But that's why I added referrals to people like Sherrod in the past. We had Neil. We're going to see another young man, Brennan C., be coming up through the ranks here before too long, you know. so we're going to be seeing some folks that can be. So I can do the office visits and the counseling once a week. I have releases signed both ways, so I can communicate with the recovery coach or the sober coach or the sober companion, but we'll just say recovery coach because that's the cleanest sounding name. Now, or mentor. Sherrod does mentoring also, and there are purists out there that will say that mentoring, which is true, is more hands-on and showing and leading, mm-hmm. Where coaching is more open-ended. But we're just going to say recovery coach for now. All right. So Sherrod and I work together on these cases. We touch base maybe once a month, sometimes more, sometimes a little less, depending on the month, mm-hmm. on the cases that we're working with together. I know my lane as the counselor. He knows his, you know, his lane as the recovery coach. Now, come on. We all know that, and Sherrod will tell you, he has a master's in counseling. Is that correct? You have one of your masters. Yes. He has two masters. One of them is in counseling.
One in psychology and one in counseling.
Mine's in clinical psychology. I don't have a counseling degree, but I'm a licensed counselor. So mm-hmm. Go figure. The overlap. Perfect. That's what that is. It's a perfect overlap. So anyway, so we talk about these cases. The thing that I like, okay, is I like to start the process, mm-hmm. keep an eye on the mental health stuff, start the other stuff. Sherrod kind of does a lot of the other stuff, working with the family, working with the parents, working with the client in their home, in their live environment, looking at those family dynamics, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully I came back. Did I come back?
Yes.
Okay. Now I don't have any sound, but that's okay. At least right now, I don't have any sound. Hopefully, it'll come back. So anyhow, and then Sherrod, kind of, honestly, folks, like the coaches, if you're the coaches are doing the heavier lifting, I think. I mean, they're dealing with the issues of the day, Was there a fight at the house last night? Was there an argument with the family? Those types of things. So what do you think, Sherrod?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a perfect compliment because, again,
keep talking.
And then, we can. Okay, we can.
Hold on. Okay. But just keep going. I'll be back in a second.
All right. You know, as coaches, we get to provide that extra support to the therapy, to the therapist. And it allows us to be able to go into the trenches without the barriers preventing us from doing certain things, saying certain things. A lot of times that, like Bruce said, a lot of times that, you know, you may have a family dynamic that has a lot of aggressive communicators, so they don't listen. So they're very aggressive with each other. So in the event of that, that may take place. I know just recently here, I had to go out on a call at about 8 o'clock at night. And I was there for about 3 or 4 hours, you know, diffusing all of the dysfunctional communication. So the beauty of being a mentor slash, you know, recovery coach, it allows me to come into the home, the natural environment, and kind of evaluate and kind of help clean up the environment, kind of help clean up the attitudes. But at the same time, you know, we got to remember we have to stay in our lane, because you can get into some serious trouble if you cross over to where now you're providing therapy. And it seems like it presents itself like you're providing therapy. And that's a fine line. Psychoeducation is beautiful because, you know, you get to educate. And so with my degrees and my life experience, I'm able to do psychoeducation. I'm able to educate. I'm able to teach, you know, strategies and techniques, coping mechanisms and strategies, anger management, things like that, because I can do it from an educational perspective. But when something crosses over, you know, I can't have the quote unquote rabbit ears, the fix it mentality that, you know, I can fix it all. I can do it all. So I have to make sure that when I see that now we're crossing the lane, and that's out of my scope of practice. And now you have to be straight up with the parents, because sometimes parents will say, yeah, but we really like working with you. We really like what you're doing.
Right.
And then I have to respond, yes, I really appreciate the honor and the privilege of being here supporting your family. However, at this particular time, it doesn't mean we can't come back to it. But at this particular time, I need to refer you out, and I need to get you back to Mr. Cameron and take care of that right. side of it.
Okay. So let's lead by example here. Mr. AW. So Mr. AW comes in at first, and I see him. And I see him. He has a lot of mental health issues, and he has a very prolific substance use issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
Try to set up some psychiatry and some other stuff. Get him to a point now, in theory, where this individual now can be a recipient of services from Sherrod. In other words, he's medicated, or he's functioning in a way that he can work with Sherrod in a meaningful way to receive coaching, mentoring, and those things. And then, right, I'm still involved. I send the case over to Sherrod. Sherrod works with this individual, with the family, and I'm going to stop here in a second, Sherrod, because Sherrod, kind of describe what you did with the family and the groups and going to the house and the other youth and stuff. You know what I mean? That little youth group and stuff. Talk about, okay, so once I referred to you, what kind of work did you do with AW and his family?
Absolutely. What I provided, I was able to go in and provide the support of the support. I was able to go in and kind of work with communication. I want to know, how do you guys communicate? You know, so being in the natural habitat, this is the reason why I like to go to the home. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when the clients come into the office, you know, they like you say, they become actors. And they can go in, I know I'm in the office, I know what I'm here for. However, when you're in your natural habitat, you know, you're going to act natural. And so I was able to go in and clean up a little bit of the communication, work with them a little bit on the attentive listening. You know, hey, support how to use I statements, not you statements, you know, because that makes you feel like you're being attacked. Was able to kind of get AW to kind of start grounding himself. Okay. You know, you got to start, you know, come into the moment and stay in the moment and use those I statements and recognize what the issue is. And so I was able to work with him with the life skills, you know, building those life skills, some of the strategies of, you know, relaxation techniques, meditation, things like that. So that's the beauty of being a coach, you know, so being able to do that. And we did, I did help facilitate some of the groups that they used to have for some of the young men and women in the community to where we did just that. It was more educational components and teaching them how to use these strategies and techniques. So that's the beauty of being a coach. We get to help reinforce what you, Mr. Cameron, instills in them when they come to therapy. So we get to come out and help them apply what they've learned inside your office without those strings of saying, hey, nope, I'm not going to cross that line. That's something you need to take. That's something you need to take up with your therapist.
Right.
We have to make sure, all you coaches, make sure that when it gets to that point where they start asking you questions that are more in depth, that are going more beneath the surface, that's something that you need to refer out and say, hey, I encourage you to talk to your therapist. Because you may open up a can of worms that you're not licensed to do, and now you're stuck, and you can really do more harm than you do good.
That's a great point. Now, this case is really interesting, but you know what? I don't think it's uncommon, so let's keep rolling with it. So, okay, so there I was, and then the bulk of the work really kind of came into the coaching sphere, and then was it that this client had to go to a rehab, mm-hmm. and that temporarily halted that's what halted the relationship, right? Because he had to go out of state, right, to a rehab.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. Okay. It got out of hand. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, and that's fine, and that happens. And this is one thing I want to say: you got a psychiatrist, and/or you have a counselor, and you have a coach. And let's say you're the parent or whatever, and you've put all these resources, and that individual still decides to abuse themselves chemically at a level that's neurological and at a legal level, right?
Absolutely.
That stuff's illegal, especially down here in Texas. It's still illegal. You in that game long enough, you're going to get caught. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so back to this situation. So this individual goes out of state, and then, Sherrod, did they approach you once he returned after a while? And then what did you see that you thought, nah, he's got to go back through the mental health loop? Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. He returned. They reached out to me. And I told him, yeah, I'd be willing to, you know, come back on the scene and work with him. And at that time, when he first got back, you know, it's kind of like the honeymoon period. I'm still trying to do good. I'm still trying to stay on the straight and narrow. So, again, that's when I began to kind of introduce him to what I like to call our alter ego, which I like to call the imposter. So I started working with him on identifying the two different him. You know, you have a you, which is a good young man, you know, you're motivated when you can stay off your drugs, stay on your medication as prescribed and do it as prescribed, then this is you. However, when you're confronted with an issue, that alter ego, that imposter starts to mislead you and misrepresent you. And so I started working with him in that capacity, and I just started noticing that he was doing the Michael Jackson. He was moonwalking. He was backsliding. And once he started backsliding, it became more intense. And so I had to recognize that, you know what, I had to talk with his parents that, you know what, this is out of my scope of practice. He needs to get back with a licensed therapist. He needs to get back with Mr. Bruce Cameron.
Okay, hold right there. What was the moonwalking consisting of? What were you seeing clinically that you thought, hey, man, what were some of the features that you were seeing that you thought, man, I gotta go to the mental health
and glamorizing, glorifying, you know, to use, hey man, this, you know, this is the life, you know, hanging out with the wrong type people, you know, hanging out, partying every night. One of the biggest things I saw that, you know, he would sleep all day and be up all night. So he had a dysfunctional sleep pattern. Mm-hmm. And then he was overwhelming himself, you know, trying to work a little bit here. And then I get off work. Instead of going home, I go hang out, do drugs, party, kick it. And then I'd come home and I'd sleep all day. Right. And then I'd get up and do the same thing. So that pattern became detrimental. It became harmful. And at that time, I knew if I kept going on with this, then I could eventually get myself in trouble because I'm supposed to be in a position to recognize this right. pattern, you know.
Right. All right. So he was doing some cognitive, mm-hmm. and then he was also continuing to engage in the self-harmful behavior, substance use disorder, which I see as self-harmful. I know it's a little old school. Right.
Yes, sir.
Because drug use is so common and so accepted in today's culture. But okay, non-suicidal self-injury, they call it NSSI, non-suicidal self-injury, and to some extent it is. And then, so he's engaging in this behavior,
and he was rationalizing it. Yeah, and he was rationalizing it. It was like to him, man, that man, I'm not hurting. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just a typical young man. I go to work. I'm going to work. I'm effective at work. I'm doing these things. So, you know, he was convincing himself that what he was doing was not harmful. It was not irrational.
And this is a young man who, and I've seen this a fair amount in my practice, because of what he has done to his brain. And this is my mental health opinion now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Sherrod makes the call, right? He's like, man, this guy is not thinking the way he should be thinking, and he's continuing in the old behaviors. He's just clearly not responding right to coaching and mentoring at this moment. Send him back up through the chain. I see him and I say, hey man, because what I'm seeing is actually bipolar one,
mm-hmm.
a variant of bipolar one. And through the years, this client has damaged their brain chemically. I believe mm-hmm. that their dopamine shot.
Oh, absolutely.
And once that dopamine floods the cell, and that's it. That's when you start to look a little crazy. Could be grandiose. Could be delusions of grandeur. Could be delusions of persecution. They're out to get me. Could be both,
mm-hmm.
which in this case, I was like, man, I was like watching a metronome, persecution, grandeur, persecution, man, right there in 10 minutes, chick, 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 persecution, mm-hmm. grandeur, persecution, mm-hmm. grandeur. I'm like, man, right? And then they have that's labile, lability, emotional lability, but also kind of a cognitive lability, right? Mm-hmm. Slipping into mood states, no transition. Yeah, man. And so you just, and some of that, man, is really organically based. You can't mentor that. You mm-hmm. can't really counsel that. Right. I mean, you got to get the person medically stable or as stable mm-hmm. as possible so that they can respond. Right. Absolutely. We see that with grief clients. Had a run on some grief clients here recently. They're clinically depressed. We make the referral. They're on antidepressants. They're sleeping. They're eating. Now they can benefit from grief counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Because now their body's able to function in a frame that they can respond to the counseling.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Well, same thing in here with the self-injury, significant substance use disorder, and now a psychiatric picture because of the manifestations of his thought and speech and actions.
Mm-hmm.
Reveal an individual that's kind of out of control.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was out of control and but he thought he was in control.
Well, he felt it. And that's how you feel when you're bipolar mm-hmm. one, by the way.
Absolutely.
Woo, boy, my man, Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses. When that dude was manic, he was on top of the world. He was writing music. And as a matter of fact, the record label, they didn't want him to take lithium because he wasn't as creative.
Right.
he wasn't putting out those songs like he was when he was crazy. you know, they didn't want him to take his lithium because he got normal, and then that normalcy didn't necessarily translate to what the record industry wanted to see from output from this guy. Anyhow, I could do a little Kanye thing, but I won't. No, I'll just walk away from that. Okay, never mind. Kanye can say some crazy stuff sometimes, right?
Oh yeah.
But we'll do some more research before we start talking about Kanye. But anyway, y'all know what we're saying. I mean, there's some pretty extraneous things that we're dealing with. So yeah, and here we go, right? And it's the circle of life here, almost, in terms of if this individual gets stable, gets their thinking clear, oriented, grounded, no tangentiality, does well on a mental status, emotionally euthymic, right?
Mm-hmm.
No pressured speech, no intrusive ideas, no, you know, thought broadcasting or any kind of weird magical stuff. I mean, I believe in magical stuff, but, you know, there's magical stuff and then there's like,
right,
stuff that's as a result of bipolar one magical stuff. So, anywho.
Yeah, and then you have to keep in mind, too, Mr. Bruce, he's a musician. And he's a good-looking kid.
Good-looking young man.
So, you know what I mean? So, he's talented. So, that was where the parents held on to the hope.
Right.
If we could get him back to doing his music and writing his songs and performing on stage with the church and things like that. So, that was the parents' ideal thinking. But this young man was using that as a manipulative tool to keep himself in the house and not getting cut off.
Boy, that's a good point. And, you know, the thing I like about that individual is that he really is a good musician. He plays well. He sings well. It plays off good in his videos. You know, he's not like one of my dudes from federal prison. Like, yeah, man, I'm going to be a rapper. I'm going to be Pimp C. Really? You know anything about music? No, man. I don't know nothing, but you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do it. I mean, anyway, I'm sorry. But this kid, man, like, okay. And you know what, man? And you know what? And that's why I don't want to say that, but that extreme artistic talent really leans in well with bipolar one. I'm just saying that as a mental health professional. Okay. So seeing that a lot in my 30 plus years of working with folks. So anyway, now here we go. So we're going to get him stable. We're going to try to get him stable, get him back up on his feet, get a counseling paradigm going. And then guess what? If he's willing, if he's able, get him back in to see Sherrod for the follow through, for the follow up, for the accountability, for the mentoring, for, you know, the relationship, and see if we can get a reboot. Now, that's where Sherrod and I have the patience of Job, because we, you know, some people say, hey, man, I worked with you. You didn't make it, you know, screw you, get down the road. We're not going to do that. Like, we'll just keep going. We'll do what it takes to help the person get to the next level, AKA next level focus.
Yeah, absolutely.
get them to the next level. So, and sometimes it takes that, you know, some people say that relapse is part of recovery. I think it is, particularly if you can learn from it.
Absolutely.
If you can learn from sitting in that police car, which I think might have happened, you know, say you learn from that little old jail experience. And you know, something sometimes clicks when you're sitting in a jail cell, like I don't want to do this again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, what did I do that got me in this jail cell? Okay, I don't think I want to do that again, you know, and that's the beginning of that contemplation stage of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So any more thoughts you want to add on AW?
Sure. And like you say, and you can always see the light in their eyes when they clear up.
Yeah.
When they take a break from their DOC, you know, their drug of choice.
Oh yeah.
And they allow their bodies to reset, their minds to reset. And then you can see the glimmer of hope. You can say, okay, so you can see why it's a challenge not to give up, because when you're in that storm, I mean, that storm is brutal.
Right.
You know, when they're in that lying stage, manipulative stage, and state of mind, and that using, active using,
right,
it is a storm. And it takes a lot of patience for the healthcare professionals as well as the parents.
Boy, patience, as a young man in my 20s, early 30s, I would have found myself frustrated mm-hmm. by this individual.
Absolutely.
As a young man
mm-hmm.
with less experience than I have now, I would have found myself frustrated at this individual to the point that I would almost have to question whether or not I could even work with this individual. But I'm older now, 5 years, you know, working at close range with this type of thing, especially with co-occurring disorders that are both crippling.
Yes.
Substance use and bipolar one. I mean, I couldn't think, the only thing that would be worse than the bipolar one would be acute schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Along with that. But other than that, bipolar one's a solid second place, y'all. So, you know,
it's
a solid silver medal. Like, oh my God. And then that bronze coming in there right there alongside it with substance use. So, right, you got to put your patience hat on and be mm-hmm. patient, right? Because that's the name of you are tracking your client. You are where your client is at. You are joining your client where the client is at.
That's right.
Sometimes we can do that. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's difficult to do that. But guess what we got to do? We got to do that.
Absolutely. You have to stand in,
particularly if you're a coach.
That's right. You got to fill that gap. You have to fill the gap. You have to step in and play your role. And that's why it's beautiful within this profession,
right,
to where this is one of the only professions where your age doesn't work against you.
No.
You know what I mean? It actually works for you.
It works for you now in the perception of a youthful client. That's a 50, I hear you.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. Within this place.
But the psychiatrist, my man down the street, we'll call him Dr. X, and that's not his name, but Dr. X would have fired this dude. Hey, man, I prescribed you these psychotropic medications you were using on my psychotropic medication. I'm firing you, man. Mm-hmm. I want that liability, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got liability there. So it's like, wow, but we don't do that. I mean, we could do that, but we don't say, hey, man, you didn't follow my coaching plan. You're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, you didn't follow my counseling program, so y'all get out of here. We see what I mean? That doesn't make sense for us mm-hmm. to abandon a client or to prematurely terminate a client.
Absolutely. You have to give them time to grow. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for a lot of the parents, because they've been beaten down so long that it's like we put a plan in place.
Right.
And then it's like they expect that plan within the next day that I need to see immediate results. And it's like, well, you have to give a person time
to
work through, because they're still going to have challenging thoughts. Those thoughts are not going anywhere.
Right.
Those impulses are not going anywhere.
Right.
So you have to give us time to be able to work that out. So when an encounter happens, a lot of the times what I do is instruct the parents when an encounter happens and you see that you can't. And then that way I can come in and intervene, and now we can get it back in order and get everything going. I had to do that today, as a matter of fact, right before you had called me with the CC, you know. And I know you remember that client, CC.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I had to do that today to where he's had a great week and done some good things, right, because we had a powerful intervention between him and a couple of his friends, and let them know the seriousness of that, you know, hey, you're at the stage of where now I finally got the parents to open their minds up to understand treatment is not bad, because that was the thing that they were detrimental to them and how they viewed treatment. Well, we don't want to send him back to any treatment because this, and this is where this didn't start from there.
And, you know, we probably do a show on that one,
mm-hmm.
on CC, because more or less that was almost a draw between me firing them or them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That was almost a draw,
man.
But hold on a minute, folks. This is a combination permutation kind of thing where I don't think he has a new counselor, but you have still remained to engage with that individual. And that's fine. Water seeks its own level. But whether you're in the CC case or our AW case, parents need to realize, and at least one of the parents says, that this recovery is a process.
It is.
It's a process. It's a complex process. It's multifaceted, and it takes time. Now, the good news is having people like myself and Sherrod, particularly Sherrod, believe it or not, make that process happen quicker.
Yeah, because it's because we have a different angle and we're able to take a different approach.
Well, the person is only going to go so far on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Let me correct that. The person can only go so far so fast on their own.
Absolutely.
But with the assistance of providers, AKA me and you and whatever respective provider fits, that journey can go unencumbered and faster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, faster can be 1 mile an hour, 5 miles an hour, or 10 miles an hour faster than what was going on organically with that individual.
Right.
But look, that's why I refer to Sherrod, if you will, to assist me and the client, to assist the client, because Sherrod there imps that accountability, promotes a recovery lifestyle that much faster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because it reinforces the importance of acknowledgement, awareness, paying attention to your activities, your actors and actresses that you have in your life. Do you know how to set a plan up? You'd be surprised how many of these young men don't even know. They say, yeah, I like a plan. But then when you ask them, what's your plan? They don't have one.
Right.
I'm spontaneous. Right. It's just in the moment. I just do things in the moment. So like you said, again, it's the beauty of having that good teamwork and that understanding and respect for each other and being able to stay in your lane and realize that, hey, we can still do intensive coaching, multiple times a week, because I've been doing that here lately with CC. Oof. Multiple times a week.
Goodness, yes.
Your BT, Albert Ellis, confrontation, confront the behavior, not the person. And allowing this individual to see,
right,
when you behave like this, what is it that you need? What is it that you're looking for? What is the end result that you want when you behave like this? Talk to him about that. Right. So still being able to use those creative techniques like a therapist, but staying in your lane as a coach,
man, but I got to ask you, hold on a minute. Yeah, we got some. I got to ask you about that, CC. Now, wasn't there a time that individual had such a temper? Now, this person's probably about 6'1", 6'2", 170, 180, is a male, healthy, young, vibrant male. Okay, so this dude actually has a temper tantrum, right, where he's almost curled up. He's like almost in a fetal position, but he's just like going at this tantrum, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so how first of all, I got to know, I know our listeners want, but how did you address that, handle that? Has he had any subsequent to that? Did you have a chance to address that? Precursors for that?
Oh absolutely. Yeah. So the beautiful thing about the path that I took to get where I'm at is having that degree in psychology and counseling. See, you're able to differentiate when this individual is really in a psychosis moment, or if he's really in a psychotic moment, or is this really just a manipulative move? Is this a manipulative approach? So I was able to see why he was going through that transition of on the floor in the fetal position, I don't want to talk, and things like that. So I said, well, what is going on right now that's making you feel like people are against you? Do you feel safe? I'm asking, do you feel safe? Do you know where you are? Just going down the assessment to kind of see, And I was able to see in there that this was more manipulative of trying to get what I want, because you guys called me to the carpet. We got everything, all the evidence right there. It's hardcore. It's nothing you can do. So how I was able to bring him back to reality is to say, well, you say that you don't need the next level of treatment. You don't need the next level of care. So let me ask you this. If I show the treatment team this video of what you're doing now, how do you think? You think that'll help your case or hurt your case? And immediately he jumped up. He immediately jumped up when I asked him that question, because that was kind of my evaluation question to really see where he was at mentally.
Right.
You know, but like I say again, Albert Ellis, REBT, calling out the behavior, not the person. So I confronted the behavior and allowed him to understand, well, yeah, you are being videoed. So if this is introduced to the treatment team to evaluate whether you need the next level of treatment, what do you think? How do you think they'll respond? What do you think their answer would be? And he immediately jumped up, wiped his face, got him some water, and came and sat down, and we were able to finish out.
Oh, right.
You know,
beautiful.
But the beauty of having, like you say, having the knowledge from yourself, you know, going through those classes, working at John Peter Smith, right? I mean, no disrespect to the other institutions that I work for, but I just want everybody that's on the listening to understand here in Tarrant County, John Peter Smith is the real deal. It is almost like a county hospital.
It is a county hospital.
Yeah. You deal with all the homeless population, the prison population.
Criminal.
Yeah, it's the real deal.
Right.
So having that training and that knowledge, it really helps.
And that was really good that you've incorporated. And that's some old school Albert Ellis REBT, just calling out the behavior, get that distance. I think working with that individual for whatever reason, I think some of the things that I would say somehow would hit him more at a personal level than it does with you. Somehow you can say stuff and it's not as condemning or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't somehow, but I think some of the stuff that I was, you know, and I was going in, I might've been going in too hard, right? Which I admit, coming from a prison background, I'm going to do that. And sometimes it's not the best thing to do. I'm just going to tell you, right? So I didn't say I was the best counselor in the world. Certainly not the worst, but sometimes I don't handle BS or lies or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't have quite the tolerance.
And I had to work my way up to that because, like you say, I was pretty stern with, like you say, you know, reality therapy. Hey, man, no excuses. I accept no excuses. You know, William Glasser. Choice theory, you know, all that. I was that way at once too, but I had to realize that, you know what, you have to pick and choose those techniques and when to use them.
And you know what, and we'll talk again. We have, you know, PC, another joint client, but that the guy discharged from boarding school. I kind of rolled in medium hard. Boom, passing A's and B's in school. Never touched another drug. You know, drug free, alcohol free. Grades are good, lifting weights, you know, taking care of himself, actually learning about kinesiology. I mean, so the kid's kind of, so right. So just, you never know, right? The beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Right? My techniques really respond to this one kid. Didn't respond to another kid. Just like, man, it just was like oil and water. Hey, that's okay. And that's the beauty of having the coach. That's the beauty of having Sherrod on your team, you know, and because then you got the, I don't want to say good cop, bad cop, but you got two different kinds of, you know, cops there helping with the individual, and it's very meaningful. But, I tell you, it's some fun stuff, huh?
Yeah, just between those two cases alone, man, it make you, you know, it'll make you pull your hair out, right? When you have to deal with those two extremes.
Right. With the first client we talked about today, the client was much of a challenge because of the bipolar one aspect. For the other third person, I might argue that one of the parents or both of the parents might be more of the challenge than the client, you know.
Absolutely.
And you masterfully set up sessions with the parents, man. You knew that was the origin. Really, really get in there with those parents and doing your thing, man. That was such a move. Such a good move, and able to do it in the house, and just, oh man, good, just good work, man. I mean, this is like Hall of Fame type of stuff, man.
Yeah.
Anyhow, well, we're down to 5 or 4 minutes. So thanks for coming on the show today, Sherrod. You did a great job. As always, good to talk, good to share our experiences with our listeners and to understand the value of tandem or conjoint work with a counselor or coach or two different or three different types of providers. Mm-hmm. That adds value to your clients and adds an element to their recovery and their progress that is just so positive. Well, folks, you can see us on our social media at concierge_coaches on Instagram. We have the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. But also, you can have these great videos on the LA Talk Radio site. We're also on Apple Podcasts, and we're also on iHeartRadio. So we're just a little podcast show that could. We're getting picked up, and we got some other aggregators that run us as well. So feel free and look at some of our exciting past shows. They got nice summaries, and we're going to have some more guests come on in the future. And Sherrod, how can folks reach you?
Yeah, you can reach me at www.nlfmtexas.org. That's nlfmtexas.org. Next Level Focus Mentoring, texas.org. It's a nonprofit organization. And you can reach out through email, sherrod20@gmail.com. And we can connect up and talk about some things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know here in the future, God willing, we'll be involved with you and I possibly involved in a project together.
Absolutely.
That has the ability to work with youth at a more intensive level. And so mm-hmm. we'll everybody stay tuned for that as that develops. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. And I know that's something, Sherrod, you've dreamed of your whole life. Not your whole life, but your whole mature life.
Absolutely.
To do something like that. And I'm more than pleased to kind of come in there by your side. Like you've been by my side, now I get to be by your side in this more intensive venture servicing youth. So I can't wait to develop that as time goes on. So yes, sir.
Yeah, once again, I appreciate it. Allow me to come on and express and share some of these experiences, some of the knowledge, and I greatly appreciate it there, Mr. Cameron.
The pleasure's mine. So, all right then, folks. Well, everybody have a great and blessed and safe week. Stay safe. Omicron is still out there, but stay safe and think positive thoughts. And, and then we'll just see everybody here next time. Okay. So y'all take care. We'll see you next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a great and blessed week, everybody. See you next time.
Have a great and blessed week, everyone.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron.